We're both recording.
Hello, hello, hello.
I can only see one. Oh, it's only me. Can you tell that we've only been recording like once this year so far?
Yeah.
I think. Have we?
I feel like maybe
twice?
It's twice.
Twice. You've only done like two.
I think it's been. I was just checking because I wanted to see what the episode number was. So I was just checking. Last episode, February the 18th.
Right.
So we are currently. And then before that, February 4th. And then before that, December 17th. Yeah, twice. So we're managing our average of like
once a month
at this point.
Juncture.
I feel like over the last couple of years we've done averaged twice a month. So
yeah.
We're gonna have to do some catching up, which will probably involve me not being quite as ill. I was ill
twice.
Possibly,
maybe once,
maybe
one and a half.
You were definitely ill at one point, and the last 2 weeks I was I basically had this like insane run of like very bad health, like sort of joke, like you said, like rolling ones the whole time. Like I had a sort of
and it wasn't like continuous.
Do you think that's
the cumulative effect of a week of having a week?
Yeah,
at the end of a week. It's like your body's just trying to resist.
Yeah, it's the Sandra Milhouse topic. Adam and Joseph are old, but like the first week it was like. It was sort of flu, you know, sort of like shakes and fever, that sort of stuff. And then last week it was, and this was even funnier because I'd like, you know, we were doing this big training and I was like ready to, I wasn't delivering the training, but I was there to help. And I was like, I need to go in, you know, Gates put all this effort into like making the, you know, building this course. I want to make sure that I'm there to, you know, help out
and stuff like that.
And I feel a little bit funny, but you know, not too bad. And I got there and like 10 minutes into the training, I was like out the room. And like yacked all over the corridor.
Oh,
I felt so bad. This week I made the thing
where it's like if you were paying more attention to your body, you'd be like, I actually don't need to do this. But you're like, no, I'm just going to power through this.
No,
I'm not.
Yes, you know? Yes. No, it was exactly. It was like, I just had it in my head that I was like, I can't, like, I feel like I'm letting the side down if I'm not there. Whereas like, if being real, I should have just been like, I'm definitely not, this is not going to go well if I try and do this. And one of the very nice people from who sort of served as the servicey bit of the office servicing came over and he was like, are you all right? And I was like, I'm very sorry.
It appears I'm very ill.
So that was fun. And then I sent you a text being like, I'm very sorry. I think I just chucked up everywhere.
Yeah.
Like that.
I was like, that's pretty cut and dry, kind of like, you know.
But,
more like cut and dry cleaners.
But I will say, I feel something about that sort of experience like shook me out of the sort of like the vague like low-key kind of funk that I've been in for a while. I'm feeling really positive, and
that's actually very good.
Exactly.
I suppose if you're throwing up everywhere, anytime you're not, you're like, well, at least I'm not throwing up
exactly
everywhere.
You know, there's sort of this like weird positivity that inculcates in you where you're just like, well, this could be worse. I could be like, you know, sort of extreme pain. But yeah, no, I'm feeling very like sort of,
well, this is
much
this
more
is the first,
you know,
already
yeah.
on
oh, that's
it.
That's
first
true
one.
As well. Spring.
It's spring.
It's apparently
spring as of yesterday or 2 days ago.
Wednesday, I think. I think it's like the first
day of spring, isn't? Or is it the equinox always? Or is it that the equinox is sometimes a different date?
Yeah, I think it might also be like there's some leap year stuff in there. Because like I feel like it used to be the 21st, wouldn't it? But like because we had that would bring it.
That would push it forward,
wouldn't it? Well,
maybe it'd have to go back to
sure. Because the 21st of December is.
But
the,
also, there aren't like 365 days in a year, right? There's 365 and a quarter days in a year. Well, even slightly different to that. It's like, is it slightly more than 365 and a quarter? Because I remember like when you're doing A level physics, right? There's a lot of shit about planets going round and how many times do they go round and all sorts of like. What was it? The number of seconds in a year I've like memorized at one point because like every single A level physics question was just like involved using that constant. So it's not. What's 86,400? Is that it?
That's
in a day.
86,400. Oh no, because like 8760 is hours in a year.
Yeah.
I think. Because that's that. There's that guy
maybe
who does the sort
of
like
one.
What to do with your life. Guy
I suppose if it's
the,
like life improvement.
Yeah, and that's 8760 because that's his thing is like, you know, you've got 8760 hours in a year. What are you going to do to make them count? Be a rationalist.
86,400 was an Australian neobank.
What?
Yeah, it was founded in 2019 by Robert Bell, and then the summary ends. 86.
What happened to that? Also, I prefer Challenger Bank. Neobank makes it sound like a lot more cyberpunk.
Wait, yeah, Neobank is a type of direct bank.
I prefer that.
Operates exclusively using online. That's like Smile or something.
Yeah.
Right? It's not even that new now. Yeah. Calling it a Neobank. The problem with anything including Neo is that it goes out of date, isn't it? You know, like Neo Tokyo.
Like the Matrix,
Whenever that's.
Also, it's very charming that Smile is the one that you go to because I feel like Smile is like the oldest one of those.
Well, no, that's what I'm thinking. That's when I jump to it, I think of that's the first
Smile
one I heard.
Smile even still exists.
Probably. It's probably folded into. Is it part of Co-op Bank or part of some other
one? Yeah, it's part of the Co-op now. It's first fully digital bank in 1999, which is, I will say, mad ahead of time.
Like, old. No, it's just really old. It's neobanks isn't very neo.
Outages. Yeah. But, I don't know, that's pretty sick. But, because all of the new ones are just like, you know, what if it was only an app thing, which is like...
Yeah.
Because I've been trying to do the whole, like, leaving my phone in a... So what I've done
you
is...
You want to go down to the counter and present your checkbook...
But you can't, like, the Monzo and stuff don't have websites. Like, they do have websites, obviously, but they don't have really, like, a web app other than, like, for emergencies. It's all, like, media, which I guess is, like, a security thing, and you have to, like, develop a web app and everything.
It's not ideal,
though. Like, a web interface. But, like, it is a pain in the arse. Although, I don't know. It's just proven a bit of a bother.
Why hasn't someone come up with some technology where you can run, like, an Android app in, like, WebAssembly, and then it just, that's your web app? Why hasn't someone... come up with that? That seems like an obvious market thing.
Well, because you can do like the opposite of that, I guess. That's what React Native
and
stuff
exactly,
is.
Yeah. Well, everybody's doing the opposite. But it just seems like to me that you could do it the other way around, and that would like...
Because like,
if everyone's really app first now and doesn't care about the web anymore, then surely you'd want to do it that way.
For a while, I used... Like, I had an Android emulator on my computer that ran like all of the apps that were like things that I needed to have, like things like WhatsApp or whatever. It was like, I kind of need to is a term of art, or like if I wanted to do certain things, and it was just like having it on there or whatever, but that was basically just like marginally too much.
Well, it's like there's something where there's a parking meter and it only uses a good Android app, and you have to get your laptop out and stuff.
I remember seeing
logging into GitHub.
Okay, right, let's get my GitHub actions, let's work out
let's get some continuous integration.
I do, like, this is the trouble, right? It's like, I saw, because I was like, looking at the podcast Mastodon, and, like, when you log into Mastodon now, there's this, like, stream of popular posts on the homepage thing. And it's all, like 90% of, like, what's popular on Mastodon is basically, like, sub-Arrow Bulk and, like, sort of, you know, line break, you don't own the, you know, if you're not the product, you're the...
But, like... Well, it's because it was possible to fork Mastodon and just have any character limit you want as part of your, like, server config. So you can just have a character limit of 10,000 characters and start writing annoying blog posts, right?
Yeah.
And I think the original one is still 500, which is probably as much as it should be, really.
Yeah.
I haven't actually checked, though.
I was reading through these, and, like, one of them was someone saying, like, basically, I think it was, like, he couldn't access, like, whatever the healthcare provider that he was with was if he didn't have, like, an iOS phone.
I saw
whatever.
This, yeah.
And
I'm like,
it is... The thing is, it's one of those things where the people do it... Because this isn't even what I would describe as, like, a Cory Doctorow cause or whatever, which is, like, those things where it's, like, this is true and correct, but it's also, like, not really the problem. Like Larry Lessig, do you remember that guy who was, like, some Harvard lawyer who was, like, the big issue is... campaign finance or whatever, and it's like easily have extremely fucked up politics with like very small amounts of money in politics.
Well, it's
like,
a look really at good example UK. Of the kind of like well one tries to encourage people to think more like systemically about things rather than just individual people being bad or whatever, but that is probably the good example of just taking that too far.
Exactly, yeah.
There will be just bad people doing bad things anyway, even if the finances are all watertight, you know.
But like, and it's like it's like not even wrong, it's just like not really that,
it's
that
orthogonal
is, yeah exactly
the, yeah.
But, like, then there are people like this who are, like, no shade to this person or whatever. Like, it was... They are entirely correct, and it is very fucked up that, like, these people are basically, like, saying you have to use an app in order to do this. Like, I remember they were doing the EU right to remain for EU citizens and stuff like that. There was some big fuss over the fact that, like, that, at the time, required an app or whatever. I just find that the trouble is, like, it's the sort of thing where it's, like, I feel like normal people... will not be amenable to this line of argument, because a normal person will be very much like, well, why don't you have a phone? And like you're basically coming across as like a weird sort of like, what, like as someone who is like trying to use their phone as little as possible, like I do understand the instinct, although I'm not as, you know, sort of stormy about it in terms of like my ideological adherence to whether or not I use like Apple products
or
whatever.
It's more of a practical thing.
I feel like you're kind of like, the trouble is with these people, like they've sort of basically, the battle has been lost because the phones are a normal people thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like having a phone is just like a normal thing now. Like maybe they would be the only like time it, I could see like normal people going for this would
this
be like,
if this whole thing happened like 10 years ago, it might be possible to win it. But it's like, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. Because like if you were like, you know, like 10 years ago when it was like smartphones were more, because like, that would have been what, like the early iPhones, and they didn't have the same, like they had a decent amount of penetration, yeah, but like
the thing is 10 years ago iPhones had already been out for like 7
years.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, yeah. But like these days I feel like the only like real way you can make that argument is like if the normal people would buy is just like, this isn't fair on old people, because like, you know, you can reasonably say, well, like my nan doesn't understand her phone, how do you expect her to do this sort of thing?
But yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean the trouble with that though is like, who are the people that I know that are like the most fucking phoned out, like, you know, love their phone kind of people? It's like, it's my grandparents, kind of like, not exactly, but like they're definitely like sort of, you know, old people having phones.
What's the Facebook
like a
generation
thing now?
People who are like sort of in between our parents' age and our grandparents' age. That's like the peak.
Those people
of Facebook.
Fucking love their phones.
The generation, like, either before or after us have parents or grandparents that are in that generation.
Like my mum's older brothers, or my mum's older brother is like, you know, bang into his, like, you know, sort of like posted up, you know, I saw a post on Facebook kind of stuff, which is like, you know, fine, whatever. But like
Facebook posts are very they're very kind of like retro for me. Like they really kind of bring back that feeling of like being on Facebook in like 2010 and like that kind of particular crusty JPEG. There was a lot of like political cartoons, but they weren't like actual, there was a lot of ones that were just some political cartoon that someone had JPEGified 100 times and then rechained, and then like someone had retranslated it into a different into a different language, and then it then come back out and then be retranslated to English with like different font laid on top, that kind of thing, right? That thing, like, but there was also just a lot of like cartoons where you don't know who like did them. They weren't very good, and they clearly wouldn't be published by an actual by anyone, but they were sort of still sort of there and part of the thing, like these sort of line drawings that were like, evidently there's some right-wing web comics out there, right?
These line drawings where they were talking about how you'd pseudo get me a sandwich or whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would say that it's the orthogonal flip side to the XKCD. Like it was like that kind of where it's like traced, but not really. I don't know. It's like, that's the kind of style you see on there a lot. And I don't think it's really changed. Like, there's almost like any time I see anything that's sort of gone through Facebook, it's like, it resembles, it's still that, it's like how a cow pat resembles the grass that fed it kind of thing. You know? it's like that kind of, it's the lot, I guess, because it just has such a huge degree of like inertia as a thing, right? It's like Reddit obviously has gone through these various phases of being cringe in like different ways.
Now
whereas
it's become
Facebook
cringe
is,
by doing IPO.
But yeah, but now, exactly, that's the final sort of cringe. You would see there was some Paul Graham thing where he was going on about how great Reddit was, and it was clearly just a kind of like the IPO is coming out.
Well, let's use this.
Let's just finally, just one last, come on. But like, I feel like Facebook's just got so much inertia that it still has the style of cringe that Facebook had in 2010. All those fucking, you know, like Ebaum's world and funny junk and all that, like putting the watermark on other people's shit. Facebook is basically just that, but like it's still going, and all those other things have fallen by the wayside. I mean, I presume they still exist in some form. I don't know.
They
have no relevance anymore in 2024.
Basically, the only exposure I have to Facebook, other than like a very occasionally relatives telling me about it, is Hazel is a member of she stopped doing this so much recently, which is a shame. So Hazel, get back on that. It was great. It was a member of a bunch of Facebook groups like Brighton Past, and there was another one, I can't remember, it was like some guy's name, and it was like, basically it was like, you know, Baz's old Brighton Past or whatever, which is like, you know, the sort of slightly more outre version.
It's like he's a kind of pub landlord figure in the but like a historian version,
and it's all like sort of people. I mean, obviously those are like places with a point. I think when we started getting some of the stuff from the Bazzers one or whatever, it was very much like people posting like weirdly like floral display, like the words "good morning" with a weird like floral display thing associated. Yeah, with, you know, yeah, that sort of yeah. thing.
And you I was just go like, on like "good morning floral display yeah, generator," yeah. and it has like an image magic exactly. command yeah. that generates
and,
them. Right.
And I looked at that and I thought, I don't understand what this is. It's like it's or like, you know, people just posting sort of. Stuff it's very much got the feeling of like, you know, sometimes when people, it was a big thing back in the day when people used to like tweet something where they clearly thought they were like entering into the search bar or something like that, and they were accidentally tweeting like it's stuff that isn't exactly that, but it has that same thing of like, I don't really know,
is this even right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or like, do you understand what
it's like, that thing when they find like an artifact and they're trying to work out whether it's a tool or whether it's just a kind of naturally occurring just piece of flint that just happens to be
certain exactly
thing. It's like, is this an attempt to converse, or is it what's going on here?
I remember
what's
once,
the objective
I,
of this?
I remember once I was at work back, this was many years ago, when I used to work in, well, I still work in an office, but I worked in an office for somebody else, and we got a phone call from someone, and he was like, hello, is this name of company that I used to work at? And I was like, yes, hello. And he was like, are you able to fix this clock that I have? And I was like, no, we're a data consultancy. And he was like, oh, can you fix this clock? And I was like, what? No? And then it just kind of like petered out. And I was like, I have still never been like, had explained to my satisfaction what the fuck was going on there. Like, and so I was like, and that's basically the experience that I have whenever I look at like exchanges on like sort of, you know, written exchanges on Facebook. Because I'm just like, who are you talking to? Like, what does this like achieve? Like, it's that thing where it's like, it's interesting that I guess I had my own like very low key version of it, like back in the day when I was like on Twitter or whatever, which is like, looking back on it, it was like, I don't think it was necessarily always clear to me like what I was posting on there for.
Why
am I doing it? Because like, when I write on my blog or whatever, or, you know, I know I'm largely doing it for me, right? Like, I like,
you're trying to order your thoughts together into a little packages.
I like having an audience, but I also like, you know, just sort of like doing a little thing, having, you know, thinking with like thinking through the keyboard or whatever you'd call it, very, very much like we do with this podcast. Like, it's an experience of like you say, ordering your thoughts. It allows you to sort of you know, and also it's just fun. I just like the experience of like actually writing. But like, Twitter isn't really writing. You know, it's little bits and pieces. Like, obviously you can have some very elegantly crafted tweets or whatever, but like, it's a different, it's fundamentally kind of a different thing. And like, unless you've got like a real objective in mind, like, I'm almost like all right with like, you know, sort of people whose thing is like, you know, self-promotion or whatever, because like, they've got a goal, right? You know, they've got a thing that they're after. Or like, people like, because a lot of my stuff, like a fair bit of my stuff was like, this is a joke to make my friends laugh, because like, I know the sort of thing that my friends
will find
funny.
Well, I thought of something
and, like,
and other people might enjoy
exactly.
this. Yeah.
But like,
it's straightforward, right? It's like, well, I've baked a cake, here's a slice kind of thing.
Yeah, this is good. I think other people would like to read it, whatever, you have it. But like, some of the stuff that I do is just like, I don't know like who's really in the market for like sort of half-baked political analysis by like a 25-year-old. But I'm guessing that's not
23
like,
year old.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, I guess, but like, it was very much like sort of the like, even if I am like talking amongst my friends about this, it just never. I always thought like, you know, there was something going on there, but like, looking back on it, I'm just like, well, I don't know. I was just like, were there some people that I was sort of like trying to reach with this? Because like, I feel like just doing less good versions of other people's tweets is like not really a way into that.
I guess it doesn't come from, it's not really, because we're currently, what we're talking about is the content and why is it being created. But with something like Twitter, it isn't really about the content. It's the content is more of a kind of like the bricks by which you build your personal brand, right? That's the way that Twitter is kind of, not exactly sold, but that's the way that people approach it.
I think that's very true. Like, I've definitely, I was talking to someone about this the other day, where I was like, I was talking about another podcast that I can't name for legal reasons, but I was talking about another podcast I don't like, basically, and I was saying that like, having followed one of the hosts on Twitter,
legally,
like,
there's an injunction against you, which means you can't name any of the podcasts that you like, only the ones you dislike.
Yeah, but like, I find it like unlistenable for a number of reasons, but like, one of the hosts on it who, like, was someone that I followed on Twitter for a little while, and they just had to stop because I was like, whether or not the stuff that they're posting is like interesting or funny, I don't really care, because like, I find it very alienating to be just like subjected to what is so clearly a project of brand building. Like, I just don't. I find that when you've got people who are like very obvious, because like, and it was subtler than some. Like, there are some people where I'm just like, you'll see them like doing this stuff and like hitting these marks and like repeating these phrases that like, and goodness knows I'm someone who fucking loves to repeat a phrase, but like that's just because of the way that I talk rather than because like I've got this like idea that it's like I'm gonna be the X guy, and like if I'm a guy who says the thing over and over again, then I become the X guy, which is like,
it's kind of a LinkedIn thing. Do you know what I mean? There's like a continuum of blogging, Twitter and LinkedIn, and Twitter is like can get quite LinkedIn sometimes.
No, absolutely, you know what I mean? Well, it's if it's like a, so you have like a little triangle,
I really
here.
Want to pivot to this particular area because I can get like a good contracting position,
exactly.
And therefore I'm going to say the name of that thing a lot of the time so that people know that I'm that thing guy.
So I saw something that was posted in like a local data. This is what Venkatesh Rao calls the cozy web, whatever the fuck. But like some like local data meetup Slack that I'm in.
Yeah.
Someone posted this absolutely fucking hellish like TikTok from a guy who's like whose brand is literally like the AI SEO guy. Fucking sadder short story than the one Hemingway wrote for you right there. The AI SEO guy. And he was just like, so I got this way of like, I save myself hours a week by, there's this tool that allows me to like plug fucking Perplexity, which is like an AI search thing. Perplexity is all right, actually. It's one of the better ones of those. But like, plug that into, aside from any, like,
What are the ones of those? I've only used Find with a PH.
All of these things.
They're all sort of the same.
Just like, I just want to say, aside from any ethical considerations about the stuff that goes into the creation of these products, TM, put that one up front. Perplexity is all right. Find, I don't think I've used as much. But like Perplexity is basically just like,
the problems I always get is that I want it to like, I've got like, right, well, here's a bunch of things I'm looking at, and like, I want you to give me a summary of the different things, because I just basically only use AI to summarize.
That's the only thing I can trust it to do.
So I'm like, right, so get all the links for this thing and like summarize the things, right? So let's say I'm looking at 10 different things. Tell me about all the things and which one would be better for this.
Yeah.
And it can never do it.
Sure.
It can never actually do it. Because then it always says something like, there isn't enough information in the links to actually give you a thing. And I'm like, okay, well, so I have to read all the links. Great.
Well, and that's sort of the thing that I find, right? It's like, find with a PH. It's a lot of these things do, like, it's possible that, like, you know, you just need to like ether moloch yourself or whatever, so that you're just like, I know the way to prompt best to get the thing. Like, you know, people used to do this with Google. Like, it's not like adjusting your methodology of interaction with the tool that gets you the information is like a particularly outre thing. It just feels, because of the,
I feel like often though, but I think like language models, if they're like, they have that RLHF or whatever, like they have that kind of reinforcement learning thing where they are encouraged to provide useful results rather than just the results that are most likely, that just tends to make them like sycophantic, which means that when you want to like prompt them with a, when you want to like, right, I'm going to get clever and give it a good prompt, what you end up writing is basically just solving the thing yourself, or you just end up trying to tell it to give you a certain result, right? So you say like, oh, I want it, you know, would this thing be like vastly superior to this other thing? And then it's like, yes, it would be, because you've used the vastly superior, and that most things that say that imply that they actually are, and so it wants to please you.
It really has. I think, because I did a little thing the other day where I was just like, I think that, you know, all those AI prompt tricks that are just like, if you don't do this, then you'll die.
Yeah,
you've got
three
counters. If the three counters go away, you're dead.
I'll send you a Bitcoin. Yeah, would you do this well?
Yeah. You know? But like, I like the ones that are like sort of whimsical scenarios. Like, this is an episode of Star Trek.
You're on the bridge.
Like, that's quite fun, right? That's sort of like, I feel like that's kind of like in the spirit.
You use a computer, having to write a thing of Star Trek in order to use a computer, I think
that's quite fun. But like, it's basically like doing the aeroplane for a child to feed it or whatever. I'm sort of okay with that. But the ones that are like, you know, usually like, you will die if this doesn't work. Like, I really object to those. Like, I think as because of,
I think it's making it stressed.
It's the animism thing, right? It's the sort of like, you know, be nice to things even though they're things, because like, you know, as I think Tom commented.
I just think torture doesn't work. You know?
Yeah, but no, that's facts. It's going
to be more sycophantic.
As Tom said it, like, that, you don't do it because it corrodes your soul, but also, like, it's very, like, GPT and stuff are very annoying because, yeah, they do, if you ever, like, correct them, they're just like, oh, you're right, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
It's just like, I know, I don't like this. Like, it, you know, for like, the having that sort of, like, you know, the interaction with those things, like, yeah, it is surprisingly difficult to get it to do like anything that isn't like sort of summarize this. You know, even the summarize this for me things a lot of the time are like, you know, pretty shonky. Mm-hmm. Like they, you know, the thing that I was getting to this from was like this video. This guy was saying, basically, he was like, okay, so I get Perplexity like three times a week. It searches for like, what's the new stuff in AI for search for like marketing and like digital marketing and stuff like that. And then like he runs it through some GPTs that put it in his tone of voice, and then it like automatically posts like LinkedIn and Medium and stuff like that. And then the objection that he anticipated from his audience to this was not like, why would I read your shit if like what it is. It was but won't this get downranked on Google because it's AI? Not necessarily. Google has been.
But I guess this isn't like, this isn't kind of teaching you the you know, if you want to get rich, send me $5.
Yes,
kind of thing,
no, and that's obviously what his shit is. But like, it was just so.
But it's almost like he said the quiet part.
That's
out
the thing.
Loud,
it was,
right?
I was like, are you like? It was very much like, you know, this is recording. Right?
Yeah.
It was like, you know that bit where Reagan was caught. Like, it's not exactly the same, but like Reagan's caught on camera being this like, and the bombing starts.
Yeah,
we begin
bombing.
Which is like
he was doing
a bit like fucking weird bit to do, but like this is like, it's like that guy's just like, yeah. So I've like automated the whole. It basically the whole thing runs on Rails. I am not the version of me online. Like, I don't understand how it doesn't seem. To him and to his audience, like, it's catastrophically discrediting of him as a person.
I think maybe he thinks I'm a real smart boy and, like, people will pay attention to me because I'm doing something unusual.
Yeah.
Which only works so long as that isn't what everybody's doing. And I feel like that we're very, very close to that being what everyone's doing.
Yeah.
We may already be there.
Yeah.
So I don't...
The thing is, like, part of me is, like, what... But, like, from the audience's perspective, obviously, the thing is, well, just, like, why would I read that? Like, even if... It is an effective summary. Like, it's not like he's got any... You can see, and he shows you in the video what it is he's doing. It's not like there's any particular special source to what he's doing. Like, if you find his tone of voice so engaging that you would read whatever,
the
then
idea
maybe.
That
but like,
everything
yeah.
is just a kind of, like, Photoshop filter. Like, it's just a kind of VCS, VSC, I don't know, that was fucking years ago.
Yeah.
It was like, the idea that everything's just kind of like, you know, a hipstomatic filter.
Nice.
Let's go with that
nice.
One. Where, like, you... There isn't really any information to information in the curation and development and all of that, right? There isn't actually anything going on there, and that all you're doing really is just kind of like
you're just moving,
putting a
color
tint onto everything.
It's so much the idea that like basically like it feels it's the closest reading that was the close or like watching that video was the closest I felt to the thing that people talk about the internet being dead, right? Where it's it's all just like in robots transacting bits with each other because like fuck me, it's so like. The idea is so, like, content-free.
Because the thing is like, that you want there to be, like, a human emotion to it, right? You want to read someone's take on something, and a take is, like, an emotion. A take is, like, if you met someone in person at a bar, so there's a smoky bar and it's late and it's after some kind of some tech convention thing, and you're like, so give me the lowdown. What's the real shit?
Exactly.
What's the actual truth about this?
Yeah.
They're like, well, you don't want to hear it, but actually the truth about this is actually this, but this is actually not this. That's what people like to read.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear, like, a listicle about like what the big things are, unless I think maybe they're just really inexperienced and young and don't know what anything is, and they're in the kind of like I want to get as much information into me as possible, you know, as quickly as possible kind of way. I just want to like gorge myself on so much content that I like know what all the things are because I'm going to begin a career in this thing or whatever, right? That's the only reason, because I was thinking a lot about this, about how like when I was younger, I used to read a lot of things that were quite different to what I read now. A lot more of just, like, I would just click on things because I didn't know what they were. And now I'm, like, often I don't click on them because I know what they are already and I don't want to read them. Or I can sort of tell what they are. And I'm kind of like, right, I can tell what that already is. And so I can imagine what it is. I don't need to click on it, right? Yeah. But a lot of the time, it isn't even that. It's that nowadays, I don't know what something is. And I know that I won't need to know. Or I know that that isn't really going to... It's kind of a waste of time, right?
This is basically like Dan Davies' hypothesis that like AI is going to disable itself by like having an overdeveloped model of the world. And like effectively like stopping caring. Like pretty soon. Like it's, you know, basically like if you do the...
There's
like
just lots of stuff.
You do the Skynet activation timeline on it, and it'll just like end up being just like, yeah, I know this, fuck off. Yeah. Like, because like, what, you know, that's like the trouble with knowing stuff is that you like it's more effort to unlearn stuff that you think when stuff changes. But like,
it just end up with a kind of pea soup thing.
Like the thing about this dude, like, obviously, you know, from the point of view of the audience, I find it kind of baffling. I do understand the thing that you're saying, where it's like, you know, some people are kind of just are like, especially young people, and fuck me, goodness knows, I don't think you're ever going to go broke. Like,
had conversations about when we were younger, especially about like how to deal with the volume of information. And the subtext there is that we're trying to get as much information as possible because that's somehow better, which in a kind of first order approximation is true, right? And I guess that was our attempt to kind of discuss. That was also the main thing that everyone talked about in like 2012. Too much information, right? But like, I think the reason everyone was talking about that was because it was like, that was an early attempt to solve the kind of first order problem of like, no, this is how do we actually choose what to do, right? And I think when you're kind of less experienced, or you're less, you know, you're very enthusiastic, but you don't know what to be enthusiastic about. You don't know what to actually kind of, you know. And I can totally imagine on an emotional level being not exactly suckered into, but like being kind of being more convinced of the virtues of just having a good information filter system so that I can be a big sort of Skynet. Or the Emperor in Warhammer 40K, right? You've got all these cables going into your head, right? That's the kind of thing that they're talking about. And the idea that maybe you can't put all the cables into your head, you unfortunately have to read it as text.
Yeah.
And therefore you need cables going into the head of someone else, maybe an LLM.
But like the thing about this guy, though, is I'm just like, from his point of view, what is this, like, what does it benefit him? Because like, surely if he's the AI SEO guy, it would be useful to him to have an idea about like what sources of information does he trust.
Well, he's,
how does he get stuff in? How could I maybe improve the stuff that I'm doing later
on? He's kind of bragging that he's replaced himself with a shell script.
Exactly.
Like he's bragging about the fact that he doesn't know anything and it's all done by himself, and all he does know is how to like do some Python or whatever.
But it's not even Python, it's a fucking like it's like whatever, like someone reinvented Yahoo Pipes, like basically, like, which is fine. Yahoo Pipes was cool. Like, you can drag the things around. That's nice. I like that. But like, you know, the idea that someone would just be like, hey, you know what's sick, allow me to, you know, sort of show you behind the curtain, where it's like, oh yeah, it turns out what I do is actually very simple. That's the other thing about it. It's like, basically, he's, you know, this guy is just like, well, all this stuff that I post or whatever is not real. And like, I don't know, maybe is your TikTok audience that different from your like LinkedIn audience that they're not going to cross over? Possibly.
Well, maybe he's trying to get negative attention. Maybe it's like a...
And maybe he's succeeded. Fuck. But like, I'm not telling you who he is, other than that his gimmick is the AI SEO guy, which is like, again, the worst thing that you can possibly... And the other thing is, of course, it's fucking for SEO, which is like basically the same as this other thing, but like one layer down. It's like, rather than like optimizing your shit for like, you know, rather than being like, okay, here's a tool to like do this stuff, like SEO is basically like, here's how you basically deform the things that you make so that the tools that people use to find them will find them more easily. Like, or if you're this guy, I presume it's just like, here's how you do that, but like basically just so you can like sell more shit. And like, it's just, you know, the whole thing was just like staggeringly like, I do understand.
I guess, you know, because SEO is like a cat and mouse thing, right? And you know how, like, you know, like Tom and Jerry, right? Like,
it seems like Tom and Jerry, and that there's kind of like a weird racist thing.
Well, no, but what I mean is, if you think about the attitudes of the two characters, right? The one who's being chased and has been trying to got, he's generally a little bit kind of like nya about it, right? Maybe this,
well, like,
is
Roadrunner
just...
and
right. Well, I guess Roadrunner's a bit different because Roadrunner's kind of basically like not really aware.
He's
Roadrunner
kind of like,
has a kind of Zen thing going on, but like when you're the little mouse and you're getting chased by the big Google or whatever, like maybe that is part of the thing, is that you want to be a little bit like, you're doing a little sort of promo kind of thing. You're doing a little bit
You know, again, but that's the thing that I am bad at remembering and understanding and keeping in mind,
that everything is wrestling.
It's literally all about it's basically, well, no, it wasn't, but you know, it's a funnier way of making the point that it's all about what heat you can get on you, you know. If you're just like, you know, and it's basically like, if you can sustain a high level of heat, unless it's like real, well, I think the trouble is, for me, all of these people have fucking go away heat, but like, you know, like fucking expat heat, but like, yeah, it is all about like, how can you get some fucking heat on you, you know, how can you get sort of attention And if you can get attention, and like, because I think the trouble is, fundamentally, I don't really care about getting attention in that way. I mean, it doesn't help that I'm not very good at it, but like, it's just never been the thing for me.
It's because you can get, like, if you need to, like, do something work-wise, you've got, like, a network of people you know, you've got clients that you've been working with for a long time, you can, like, get business. You don't need to, like, get a load of go-away heat just in order to make money, right?
And that's the thing, because, like, the thing for this guy is, like, I presume at this point he isn't actually selling SEO, because, like, I know people who are, like, SEO professionals, and, like, they're not evil. They're just normal people. They just, like, their job is basically to tell people, like, use these keywords in this blog post on your website, come up with a content strategy, make your website run faster. I mean, honestly, a lot of it is just make your website run faster. But, like, it's all, like, you know, technical SEO is basically, as far as I can tell, it's all just, like, 50 different ways to say make your website run faster, and like, you know, sort of do these like pretty obvious things, and also some stuff to do with, like, words in blog posts.
But,
and,
you,
like,
know, I had to disable JavaScript on Slate Star Scott's Substack. Yeah. That's a bit of a tongue twister.
Slate Star Scott.
But on the seashore. And because the page just freezes for, like, 12 seconds now and again. And I opened up the fucking profiler in Chrome and started, like, looking at the fucking flame graph of, like, what was taking so long. And it's, like, some like, web worker task thing that's, like, runs for, like, either 600 milliseconds or, like, 12 seconds. I'll see if I can open it up now, actually.
Yeah. There was a blog post that...
What is the moon? Hang on. Oh, very nice.
Oh, nice. Nice. Oh, look at that.
That's a good moon.
Big old moon. Lovely.
Almost full. Right. All right. So have I got this JavaScript disabled? JavaScript is enabled. Right. Look at this page. Look. I'm trying to select text, right? It's letting me select it.
Yeah.
So if I scroll, it's working now, right? Yeah. New tab. Go back to it. Look. Look.
What the fuck?
Everything's completely frozen. Like,
that's
still
baffling.
Frozen.
Yeah.
Still, like, look, can't even scroll. Look at this shit. And this is, like, also, it's kind of dodgy on my phone as well, like on Safari. It's a completely different platform. Windows, PC on Chrome.
Yeah.
But now it's working, right?
Yeah.
And if I open up the fuck, look, it's frozen.
Yeah.
Open up the web inspector, right? Performance, right? So I run I don't want to fucking do that. See, it's lagging so much that it's doing that. And then I, hit Control E to start a new recording. What's the wrong one? Profiling. Right?
Yeah.
No, 3 seconds, 4 seconds. I'll wait until it stops. So this has been frozen now. Seven seconds. Really? I think it was 12 seconds was the longest.
What on earth?
Yeah, look.
14, 15? Fuck.
I don't. And it's just like this. It might be because of some add-on I'm running, but I don't think
it is. I can't imagine it is.
Anyway, it's just completely frozen. I'm just going to stop the profiling now. And now it's all right.
Stop the profiling. Sadly, something you can't do for the site itself.
Yeah.
So
if you look at this performance thing, right, it's some giant, what is it, task? Task too long, took 7.19 seconds. Google will not like that. That's bad SEO.
Yeah.
Event on visibility change, run micro tasks. And it's just all of these, like, obfuscated names. And then they have this big call stack that just goes on for, like, ages, that's running all of these obfuscated functions.
How much money does this website take to do web design, allegedly?
I don't know.
Is bonkers. Like, I say this as someone who's,
so,
like,
whenever that you scroll or the visibility of something changes, it's running, like, mad JavaScript, like, for, like, 10 seconds.
My whole job basically used to be adding tracking scripts to websites, and, like, I would get fired if I did that.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Very early on in my career, someone at my business managed to... I don't know whether it's been long enough that I can de-anonymize this, but substantially slow, but because they'd accidentally, like, set up an infinite loop on some, like, bit of code they'd added to the site of a prominent UK grocer, and it, but yeah, we got in some trouble for it. Like, it was it, but, like, the sites are just doing it to themselves. That's bonkers.
I'm assuming that's some add-on I have. Maybe I should disable all my add-ons.
I don't think so. Like, there's a guy called Dan Liu who's, like, a, you know, he's a old school blogger who has a very, like, sort of
I know he's a real
legend.
I don't want to call it a blog, I want to call it a site.
He's not really a blogger. He is very much
I
have a homepage,
a
kind
website
of guy.
Admin, yeah. But a webmaster.
Yeah. But he did a post the other day where he was like, what is it about, like, why are so many websites so slow? And, like, it's an obvious thing to say, and, like, the conclusions are always kind of obvious, like a bunch of JavaScript bullshit. But, like, the thing that he pointed out where he was just like, he picked this, like, phone that was just like, this is a, like, not very good Android phone, but, like, it would cost, you know, a decent whack of, your, you know, median income, you know, family median income, if you were like in, like, you know, sort of like the if you were like a normal person in Nigeria or somewhere like that. Someone that's like not like, you know, that is like actively developing, like, you know, real on the
place
come up
where
place.
Like everyone's got phones, but the phones aren't like the latest ones.
And he pointed out that like you can basically like run Fortnite on these phones and it works fine, but like
it's a game,
a website,
it will
choke on it completely. And there was a really weird thing where he quoted like one, there was a guy who ran a something called Discord, which I think is like a neo forum software or something like that.
Yeah, I've seen that around. It's been around for a little while.
He basically it was like him going back and forth with like some guy from Google, where the guy from Google was just like, why doesn't this run? Like, why does this not like run on phones? And the guy was basically just like, what, are you too poor to afford like a good phone? It was something like completely bonkers like that. But like, isn't that insane as a thing to say as it is? Even like. That I might be slightly exaggerating what was actually said in that. No libel is intended. But like the actual thing where it's like, this is like literally Slate Scott's site is a vehicle to serve text, right? Yeah.
If you disable JavaScript, it's completely fine. Yeah. Except there's a red banner at the bottom saying you need to enable JavaScript.
Yeah, but like it's one of these things where like, do you remember like
that? He's not putting like Brett Victor interactive JavScript.
Yeah, like
if it was
like the guy, is it Bartosz, whatever his name is, the one who does all the like cool diagrams where it's like, this is how an internal combustion engine works.
Absolutely,
like
yeah.
You need, they're very cool. you need something. I mean, you maybe don't even need JavaScript for that. You could probably do that with like, you know, fancy HTML5 or something. But like, you know, you there are things where it's like, okay, this site maybe has something that needs this thing. I'm not, you know, obviously like not all. I'm not trying to be one of those like you should only serve like plain text. Or I mean, I have some instinctive sympathy towards that point of view, but like it doesn't have to be or whatever. But like with these guys, it's like, you know, why does this site that is just like its whole purpose is like give me text need to have that? And it reminds me weirdly of the crypto stuff back when crypto was big and everyone was just like, this, you know, here's this revolutionary new way of doing this thing, and you found yourself thinking, why? So look, why not just do this as
the same thing on my phone, right? If I scroll, it just kind of like goes blank.
Yes, yeah,
for a while.
It does that sort of like really shitty loading, and then also reverse lazy loading.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's just something weird's going on with it. Mm. So it's just like, I mean, it works for a while. And also, I noticed that my phone like heats up.
Yes.
So there's evidently just shitloads of JavaScript going on.
But like, it's I cannot think of what like a benefit. What's benefit it is, you know, to do all this, because all of the like the stuff that you need to do to present a text on a page isn't actually very complicated.
You don't need JavaScript.
And even if you're doing a bunch of like tracking and stuff like that, that's not actually like, you can do that in a, again, as a, someone who's, you know, like the majority of my job used to be that sort of stuff. Like you can do that in a way that is like relatively minimal in terms of how it'll impact stuff on the page.
I
can't think what it is other than just like, you know, the sort of devs are just like got different priorities, but like, what are those priorities? Like, you know, sort of site
something really big is going on inside the visibility change, like hook, right?
Yeah,
like when that like, you know, that function triggers, but like, I don't know what it is there,
because like if you were to say to me, write some JavaScript that says when you get a certain amount down a page or you view a certain element, you know, sort of pop up this modal that's like subscribe to this thing. I can do that. I could write that JavaScript.
Comments actually,
really,
because I've noticed other Substacks don't do it as much or at all. So it might be that there's, because a lot of them don't have comments.
Sure,
right?
yeah.
But maybe something to do with like his specific comments system or something. I don't know, because he wasn't
it's overheating trying to censor all the races.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know something's good, because wasn't he one of the OG Substackers, right?
Or like, he was one of the ones who got that deal.
They got like, the deal, and so maybe he's got some custom grandfathered something that he just hasn't. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like, it just seems very weird. Like, because I don't think it's just him either. I think like all of the Substacks are a bit like that. You know, they're all just kind of like, they'll just start creaking the second you fucking like do anything. You know,
maybe auto moderation is done client side and it just can't happen.
it's just buzzing and whirring until eventually it's just like, your phone just explodes.
Maybe the whole thing is just a GPT and it's just generating on the fly as you scroll around. Let's do a little break. As it's exactly 45 minutes.
Nice.
Hold up. So we're going to be looking at a Substack.
A Substack that I've identified about AI, the future AI. Should I say that name? Who cares? And it's the title of this post is "The Uncomfortable Truth About AI Creativity: What Creatives Refuse to See."
The one thing I like about it is I do like the font. I like that kind of slab serif.
Yeah,
like it's quite readable. That's the only thing I can say. It's one of the normal Substack fonts.
The idea of Substack is just like a... Well, it's basically like the Medium thing, right? Where it's just like, we'll do a bunch... We will pick the visual thing for you. We will make it look like okay. And of course, fuck that up by making it really slow. So...
This one doesn't do that, though.
No.
I don't know. Anyway.
Can AI be creative? New sentence beginning with a lowercase. What does that even mean?
I don't think that that's fine, but you do see it in books that are like 150 years old.
Well, there is a situation that, could be a choice, but it's not in this case.
It's not a choice. Yeah. How do you know?
If AI can be creative, how does that compare to human creativity, could we measure that even?
Even?
These are some of the questions increasingly arising from the ongoing development of generative AI that are harder to ignore as AI gets more capable. It is like it's written by... But like you can tell AI from the typos and stuff that it's not written by AI, but it feels like it is.
Yeah.
There's much to unpack here. For example, arts versus science. How do disciplines look at the world? For the arts, the subjective and personal, what we feel, is often more important. For the sciences, it is usually about what works, what can be measured, and what is more objective.
He's framing the conversation. He's taking it somewhere.
These disciplines and perspectives often remain segregated, and when they do combine, it's often a clunky compromise rather than a genuine synthesis, and the different worldviews of the arts versus science usually remain unchanged within those of each discipline.
What does that mean?
This is a fundamental...
I read some Freddy DeBoer thing a while ago where he was talking about how someone was like a bad writer, not because their opinions were necessarily wrong, but just because they couldn't write sentences that made sense or that, like, meant anything.
That was a particularly funny one because it was basically just like, he was like, what you're saying here isn't actually... Because like, he was correct as well. He was like, the way that you're trying to, like, produce effect is conflicting with the fact that, like, you need to have content here.
Yeah, yeah.
It also reminds me of a different thing that he... I know the one that you're talking about, which was very funny, but he wrote another thing the other day where I think he quoted someone else's, actually. Like, Freddie is often very good at identifying other people who've done extremely good burns on people, which is, like, basically the sort of, like, the content of this writing is like an excuse for the tone or like the posture that you're striking with it.
That's
very accurate for a lot of people, actually.
So drawing the outline of the thing rather than actually drawing the thing. Yeah.
A fundamentally catastrophic error.
Yeah.
I have trained and have degrees in both the sciences and the arts, and I feel the segregation of worldviews promoted by mainstream academia has been very unhelpful, arbitrary and counterproductive for improving our knowledge of the world generally. Here, we will explore how the segregation of the arts versus blah, 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 blah.
So AI beats humans on creativity tests.
If there's one thing I know about creativity, it's that there's such a thing as a creativity test.
You can test how creative...
That's the one that's like...
That's when you want to hire
how many times
can
you use a brick or whatever? How many different uses do you have for
a brick?
It's
just like some kind of like interview question.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Or like a social icebreaker.
I'm sure the AI
challenge
will be great at the like primary school, can you build something out of these marshmallows and spaghetti sticks? The thing is, the AI would be better at that than children because the AI wouldn't eat the marshmallows.
I guess that's the real test. It's like the deferred decision making.
That's actually a hidden combined
can
test.
You save them until after you've built the thing?
Yeah, and then we get blah blah blah, all this sort of like creative apostrophe S response. Like this is funny because it's like you can tell it's not actually written by an AI because it's got loads of typos in it, but like it's just very like... So the reason that I'm sort of bringing this up is because I'm very much like, I think a lot of the people who are like in this mindset, like I don't think the person who wrote this is like necessarily a knowingly like mendacious
grifter
or whatever, if you know, as for whatever value that word has these days. But like I do think that they are basically like unconsciously replicating the patterns of the people who are like that, because the people like that end up shaping the conversation around the stuff, and that becomes like kind of the predominant tone in which things are discussed.
Yeah,
like it's all very like kind of... And the thing is, I started this assuming that there'll be some like real funny like howlers in there, that it would be like really goofy or whatever. I mean, there was one that I saw the other day where he was just like, but actually it's ableist if you don't like AI because it could help people who have disabilities to like something or like it has the potential to really help with stuff. And I was like, okay, cool, sure, whatever.
I feel like that's one of those sort of logics that's like, guns are really good because if you were a soldier who'd had his leg shot off, that's your only way to hunt.
Yeah, you can't, exactly.
Like, run and throw a spear, right?
It's all very like,
I don't know.
Yeah. And there's just loads of like the trouble is it's actually a lot more boring than like it's not interestingly bad, it's just like very mediocre.
I mean, it is just basically this particular piece is just kind of musings on uncertainty.
Yeah.
By saying like, well, we don't know any of this. We don't know any of what this might be. With a few things thrown in that are a little bit like you know, creativity tests and so on, right? Does human creativity and uniqueness even exist? Mark Twain quote. That's quite good
stuff.
That's actually, it's starting to get good now.
Yeah. And then there's a bunch of stuff about like, some quotes from other things. Like, it's almost like, I think what it reminds me of is that this is actually...
I think a paragraph, which is just a single sentence saying, this is something objectively true.
Great stuff.
Yeah. On its own line, you know.
I think what this is basically is the thing that I was talking about earlier, where I was just like, why was I doing that on Twitter? You know, what was the point? What was the point of me doing this? Like, who was this for? And my question becomes like, because there's loads of stuff like this. I'm like, who is this for? Who is like, I know what, I'm going to get my, like,
if you
want
to be like
about
a thought leader, you need to do something that isn't just like following what everyone else is doing.
Yeah, you're basically like, it reminds me, actually what it reminds me the most of is when I was a teenager and I was like, I'm going to blog about video games to get free video games. That worked, by the way. Don't know if it does anymore, but it worked at the time. And I, like, you know, I started off doing...
Most gamers can't write.
Yeah.
So, if you find like a Venn diagram, you know, thing that you...
Like,
you
I wasn't
can be
smashing
it. I mean, maybe that's actually a good example of sort of strategy, right? If this guy was doing something where he was like, I know this very specific thing, and I also know about AI, and so I'm going to be the guy that can do how this intersects with AI. If that thing is niche enough but also big enough, then maybe it's worth doing, if you can actually do it well.
Yeah,
right?
But the trouble
doesn't really
seem
to be doing
it's basically like, I'm going to be, quote, the AI guy, but like, there are so many people who have like way more expertise in the field to be able to reasonably argue that they are that. So many more people who are able to communicate more effectively, you know, talk more excitingly or more convincingly, whatever. And like, because you have all of these people who are just like churning out this absolute pablum. You know, they're not even fucking AI. There's not even the AI doing it. It's like the actual people doing it, where they're just like,
well, that's why they value it so much, because they just think, well, maybe that could write better than me. You know, probably could.
And and like, it's one of those things where I don't think necessarily they're like fated to write badly or whatever, but they just happen to write really bad. Like, they happen to write, they have that sort of like, you know, sort of very sort of like,
but no, what I want to know more than anything is that when these people write, what is it that they read? What are they consuming? Because in order to like produce any sort of
other blog posts about
it, this is what I mean, but they're all written like this, but then where does it end? There's got to be like, is that all there is? Like,
but the trouble is, where does it
how
end?
Have they what have they trained their neural nets on, you know?
Like, where does basically, I presume, just like reading fucking tech blogs for ages rather than stopping reading tech blogs when you were like, you know, sort of like 18 or whatever, like a cool person does.
But if you look at anyone that does a good thing, it's because they've been reading and enjoying and studying things that aren't just that thing. I keep saying this about video games, right? Yeah. This is why video games have sort of not exactly got worse, but have got the way they are compared to how they were.
Yeah.
The only real thing I can really say about that, our games used to be better in the past, is that there's now such a gamer culture that most of the people that make games are just people that play games. They don't do anything else. Whereas if you read about people that made games 30 years ago, like, well, they didn't grow up playing games because there weren't games, so they did something else.
Yeah, and even if they hadn't, like I think it was way more like sort of difficult to be like, I'm going to spend all of my time playing games.
Yeah, because
like,
there just weren't that many games. So
there weren't
that
many games.
Good.
Yeah, exactly. And but like you really do have that thing of like sort of so many. And it's weird because gaming is obviously like something where it's like it's basically been captured on like a field wide level, or sort of medium wide level. Like, I know people who are like, you know, sort of have these sort of what I would otherwise be really sort of like, you know, positive on and encourage is like creative projects, but part of me is a little bit like, I don't know, because it's all sort of like basically mediated by the fact that their entire input for this stuff is like. All other stuff like that thing.
It's it's always going to be derivative and presumably like, not as good.
No,
right?
and you really want to be like, you know, sort of like, if you listen to any people who have been like sort of, you know, who have done works that would be regarded as like actually good. Like,
groundbreaking.
Not even groundbreaking. If you read the people who write, like, the fucking, the nerd books or whatever, which are, like, the ones that people like, where they're just like, this has got a bit of something to it. Not even, like, the ones who
it's
are just, like,
they're, like,
the
really, really obsessed with something that isn't the thing that they're doing.
If you look, the most obvious examples would be people who, like, write hard sci-fi or whatever, where you're just like, Peter Watts fucking has citations at the back of Blindsight for every single stupid little thing about space vampires. Like, it's all in there. Like, but you don't even have to do that. It can be like, you know, just if you're just like, well, you know, I read this other thing that isn't anything to do with this stuff because, and I don't know, it's a fucking obvious point, but like the absolute like capture, like, it's worst in nerd media. Like, I don't think you have the same thing because, like, you know, other stuff doesn't seem to have this same level of, like, you know, if you're someone who, like, I mean, but I guess you do have it with people who just, like, just read novels or whatever, because, like, you know, they write about, like, sort of writers. Novelistic stuff. They write about people who write books rather than, like, actual shit that happens in life, you know, or whatever it happens to be, you know. Anything that could be, you know, like, having that lack of balance. Like, obviously, you can't be perfectly balanced, and you certainly can't be perfectly balanced all the time. Mm. But you very, very certainly should be, like, if you're so heavily over-indexed in something, like, where to the point where it's like, this is the whole, you know, I don't ever consume anything that isn't this, like, extremely narrow band of whatever. Like, that's a worry, right? Like, it's a sort of, or like, I don't do anything that
you're just going to end up derivative, aren't you? It's like, you're just going to end up in a situation where you're also probably not even able to realize that there's other stuff going on, because it's not even something that comes up, because you've really found the thing that you like. You've really maximized, you know, you've sort of got caught in a local minima or whatever, right? But like that kind of thing of like, I do think that if you know take a if you look at these guys, right, that do this, because part of me just likes to think of them as grifters, but evidently a lot of them aren't, right? Maybe the majority of them aren't. A majority of them are just people that don't really,
aren't really able
to execute on the thing that they're trying to do, because they don't quite know the thing that they're trying to do is,
because what they want is very much like to be someone. Well, a bit, I mean, you can stop that sentence there. They want to be someone. They want to be someone who is, like, sort of seen as, because, like, they've read stuff, or they've listened to stuff, and they like the idea of being the kind of person who produces the kind of reaction that they had when they read or listened to that stuff. And, like, I understand that, and
as you're growing up, you people model behavior, you mimic it, and then you become a person,
exactly, and, like, if you fucking listen to a band and you're just like, this is the sickest shit, I want to make music that makes me feel like that, you know. It's not like it's an understandable impulse, but when you see things like this where, like, the ambition is so shallow and so small, because it's just like, what I want to be is like an AI guy.
That's the thing that, like, makes it upsetting, the fact that there is, it's a shallow kind of ambition to it, that if you're making something derivative, you can do that, and then you can suddenly take a turn and do something interesting with it, right? And that's, like, something that's valuable, because if the thing's sufficiently derivative, then people know what the original thing is, and they sort of know what they're reading. And then you take it in an interesting direction, and suddenly you've done something interesting, right? But, like, if you just don't ever do that, you're just thinking, well, where... You've climbed up onto the shoulder of a giant, right? But, like... Yeah. The giant's still there. Like,
exactly. Yeah,
you know what I mean. What are you doing now? You're up here.
Yeah. You've got to like grow into it yourself, or like add something useful. Like, you know, I'm sure there are, you know, people who are able to write this sort of thing where it's like, you know, they write stuff in an interesting way or whatever it happens to be. But like the ability that is basically like you need to have enough sort of like understanding of what your shit is, that you're like, you know, because I think the thing is, when you look at this stuff, like even if someone is like making like music or whatever, you're doing a band where you're just like, we want to, let's say it's the fucking 60s, and you're just like, I want to sound like the Beatles because I love the Beatles or whatever, you know, and like even if you don't, you know, you're probably not going to be the Beatles, you're probably not going to be, you know, the biggest band in the world or whatever, but you might have a fun time, you know, playing at a pub with your mates, you know, might get some girls to pay attention to you, might get, you know, and like it'll be a thing that you have done and remember, and like you will have a good time doing, you know, whatever it happens to be. But with this, it's like, I don't, you know, even if you're like, you know, you think back on it from your, you know, your adulthood, and you'll be like, oh gosh, you know, didn't we have such, you know, sort of ambitions of whatever, and obviously, you know, now I'm like an insurance adjuster or whatever, but like, you know, I had a good time and I had fun, and it was like, it was part of the rich tapestry.
Are you really feeling nostalgic about writing this?
And obviously, you know, it's sort of older people doing it, but like,
that's a really good question, Tar. Anything you're doing, you should think, will I be feeling nostalgic about having done this?
Well, I mean, not. Would you feel nostalgic about this? Is a very good question. It's the Calvin and Hobbes thing. What are the Halcyon days of my youth? Is Saturday one?
Yeah.
Halcyonity is only identifiable retrospectively. which is true. But like, I feel like you can sort of get a feeling for whether or not it will feel like that as to, do I enjoy this? Does it make me feel alive? Does it make me feel engaged? Mm. And like, the thing about all this stuff, all the people who like basically do the poorly rewritten received wisdom stuff about, you know, the topic du jour. Like the stuff that's just like, you know, real like barrel scraping, like sort of who is this for stuff. The question becomes like, sort of, why are, you know, like, what do you feel about this? Is this what's in your heart? How can you do this? So how can you like push yourself so hard into this? How can you like sort of do this in such a like unreflective way? Like, what's going on?
It's just that you and I aren't able to understand this, because the way that we approach like creating something or trying to express our thoughts or our feelings is based on a kind of internal idea of illuminating oneself's, you know, illuminating your self-knowledge and passing it on to other people in a way that sort of somehow like transcends what it is you're doing and becomes valuable just by virtue of having done it, right? Whereas maybe that someone that writes something like this just isn't really thinking that way, and they're just thinking of, this is a thing I need to do, write one blog post. They've got it in their like to-do list system. I write a blog post about this, write a blog post about that. I'm gonna have five blog posts
because I write something three times a week, and like, it's not always like magic stuff, but I try always to like do stuff where I'm just like, I feel like this is something where I'm like, you know, like I try and communicate something about how I'm feeling in a way that I hope is like interesting, or I communicate something that occurred to me. Often it's something that's like maybe seemed quite obvious when it was pointed out to me but wasn't, and maybe I'm hoping that I can do that for someone else, or it's something, you know, like it's a small thing about something that I watched. But it's like, none of it is like this, just there's so much of it and it just feels so laborious. And for what? Like, for what? Who cares? Who fucking cares? Let's move on to the next fucking
question.
Crawling.
Yeah. Did you know that on Wikipedia, if you go onto Wikipedia and you type in crawling, specifically crawling in brackets human.
Crawling human. Oh, hell yeah.
Have we done this already, Adam?
Possibly. I feel like I recognise this.
Let's do it again. Somebody started boosting it on Master because I did a post about this, right? And I just thought, maybe let's go back to it.
Yeah.
When crawls are used.
Nice. Crawling is used mainly when a person cannot yet walk because of being an infant.
That's my favourite one.
When a person cannot walk due to disability, being wounded, sick, or drunk, a link to drunk.
Yeah.
In very low places, brackets, caves, under a table, in a mine, etc. Sometimes underground miners need to crawl long distances during their work. When searching for something on the ground.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
To get down to the ground in gardening, for maintenance, or other work-related purposes which require a good reach on the ground. For stealth, brackets, camouflage and quietness. To avoid being hit by gunfire. I feel like that's the... Well, maybe it's not necessarily stealth. Maybe if it's gone out already. Yeah. To lower the field of vision. As an exercise. As a token of submission. For fun or comical purposes. To reduce the risk of smoke inhalation during a fire. I love Wikipedia, right? Because people love to talk about how, like, Wikipedia, the Star Wars wiki or whatever, has, like, a page about breasts or whatever. And that's funny, sure. Like, it is funny. It's also funny to point out that Wikipedia, everything is in the past tense because it's a long universe.
Breasts were far away.
Yeah,
breasts were,
exactly.
Yeah, a body part.
But, like, this is normal Wikipedia, and this is as funny. This is great. It's, like, because it's, like, a lot of Wikipedia stuff is like, you know, you've got to give a certain amount of context, right? But this is like literally written like it's written by an alien.
Yeah.
Crawling or quadrupedal movement is that that's not necessarily even crawling. You could be doing like sort of the fucking Exorcist spider walk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a method of human locomotion that makes use of all four limbs. It's one of the earliest gaits learned by human infants and has similar features to four-limb movement in other primates. I just love this shit. It's so good.
So I remember I went back and I sort of traced it back, and I think this list had been added in like 2007.
Yes, so good stuff.
It's like a little kind of, I don't know what you could call it, like a little Wikipedia. You know, like when you get a little nail house, they call them in China, I think, when they can't demolish a house.
Yes.
It's like you get these little things like that one that was in up.
Yeah, the Phoenix Center.
Yeah, Phoenix Center, yeah. It's like that, and I hope it doesn't go, because it's still there, you know.
Yeah, it was
I think
great.
All of this is actually... there was actually something that was...
There's types of crawl? What have we got? We've got bridge walk. It's better, so the standard crawl.
Yeah.
Which is... Hey, that's a bit...
Front crawl.
Yeah. Bear crawl. Almost identical, but feet are used instead.
What about that one where you do it... Look, they have
Bridge walk. Bray Wyatt, R.O.P. Crab crawl. Used in crab soccer, so that's lying back, or crab football.
I just like there's a sentence, wrestler Bray Wyatt does this.
I'll tell you, one of my favourite things about Wikipedia is like weird sentences that don't quite fit the flow of everything else.
Yeah, because someone's
There was one that I saw the other day on, I think it was the Wikipedia page for ITV West and Wales. There's like a paragraph two or three down that begins with, there is not now, nor has there ever been, a channel called ITV West and Wales. It's and then someone being like very, and you're very like,
You can imagine
the argument that led to this.
It's like everything. I love that. Everything exists due to some kind of war. You know, war has born every single thing you can see, especially on the internet. And it's like that kind of. I think the ones that I notice it with is like anything to do with railways. Obviously, there's a lot of detail and a lot of very specific sort of. You know when someone like just kind of has kind of conjecture where they say, well, it doesn't seem like there were ever any of this type of railway signal on this particular railway and from this time to this time.
Yeah.
And then you can tell that like a sentence has just been workshopped for like years and it still kind of says that.
Yes.
But it's like a little clause is added to it, and it's like this sort of weird skeleton of an old. There's that one. And then the other thing that you see it a lot with is like bands. When there's like a band that was sort of known but not really that popular, you occasionally will get a Wikipedia article for the band that's like way too long and is written in a very chummy, discursive style that has this kind of way of like bouncing around and has sentences in it like, you know, some have said that back in their old days when they used to tour the Northwest, they could always fill out, you know.
And like what's
no citations.
That's the thing. It's the pages that are small enough that none of the editors care to do citation needed on it. And it's all just written like that.
That is what we don't have GeoCities anymore, but we do have that, right? Yeah. Is that still around?
I remember I lightly vandalized the Wikipedia. I can't even remember who it was for, but I basically like did something like I did something vaguely derogatory about the quality of the thing in it, and it was there for like literal years, and like nobody it was basically that I just implied that their main thing was just like, it was a topical comedy thing, and I was just like, their main thing is being shit. Not in, you know, in Wikipedia friendly language that wouldn't get picked up by the bots, and it was just there for a reason.
When I went up north to see my grandparents a few years ago, it wasn't the last time I saw them, but it's like a few years, you know, like 7 or so trips ago or something. We were going to go to Bolton Abbey and go and see the Strid. You know, you're aware of the Strid. It's that.
When was that?
It's basically. Let's get it up. We're on Wikipedia. Yeah. We got it up here. Yeah. It's a part of the River Wharf, which basically the river kind of just sort of turns on its side. And so it's just like a kind of crack between these two like rock cliffs, basically.
That's pretty sick.
And it means that it looks like a tiny little babbling brook.
Yeah.
But it's I don't know how deep it is.
It's like a sort of...
It's very, very deep, and essentially it's all like white water, so you don't float in it.
Sure.
You cannot swim in it. If you fall in it, you basically just sink like a rock and die, right? And loads of people have died in it. But this Wikipedia article, I remember like my grandparents were like looking it up or reading about it or something. And I on my phone edited it to say that like 140,000 people had drowned over the last 100 years in the stream, or something like that. You know, something like 14,000 people or something like that. And they were reading it like, oh, is that true? I was trying to demonstrate that like anyone can edit Wikipedia. Yeah. But I was trying to explain to them, and they were just like, 14,000 people. Yeah. I was just sort of, I've done the wrong thing here. But, and I think, eventually I think I did get across the idea of what I was trying to get across.
Cock Bexleys is very funny.
And I think that they now don't trust anything on the internet, which is good.
The correct attitude, so, I feel like.
They do use Facebook.
So becoming like old is basically...
They use Facebook, but they do that kind of, oh, I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to read that. Oh, this is all rubbish. They keep reading it.
It's basically going from like, oh, you can't trust anything on the internet, being, oh no, that's just what like the old people say, you can trust things on the internet, it's fine, to being like, no, it's especially Wikipedia.
Yeah.
It's great, but it's all bollocks. There's no way called Cock Bexley system, it's stupid. Cock Bexley.
Penistone. Anyway,
Tadcaster. That's where my aunt and uncle live. Very nice.
There we go. All ideas grow out of other ideas.
Damn, that's facts.
Yeah. Anish Kapoor. That's what it said. Is that on a real staircase? Is that a real staircase somewhere?
Possibly.
Anyway.
Believe there's. I remember someone, I think it was Matt Webb, mentioned at some point that there's, you know, there's that Vanta Black, that like the blackest pigment that's an exclusive license to Anish Kapoor.
Yeah.
And there's a guy who has this like extremely pink pigment, and it's very available very cheaply, but like there's a condition on it.
He will not.
Yeah, exactly. He won't sell it to Anish Kapoor, and you have to sign a thing saying you're not related to or are Anish Kapoor.
That guy does a black that isn't the black, but it's like you can actually buy it. And I think I have some stuff.
Nice.
Let me get some out. I mean, I'm not going to start painting it. Yeah, here it is. Look. Well, I don't know if it's the same guy.
It might. I don't know. It's. Let's say it is.
It's a guy.
Ooh.
It's just a very, very dark...
Thomas R. Pence. No, I think this is a different... Because I think it's the other guy called Stuart something.
Oh, okay. Stuart, well, anyway, this is a very, very dark black that has apparently got some weird type of... There's, like, something you can do with, like, sintering... I don't know what it is. It's some kind of fucked up thing that involves, like, a vacuum chamber and, like, depositing carbon in, like, specific very thin layers. Sure. So that then you can scrape it out and then use that in your pigment. And apparently the guy just, like... either does that or knows someone that does that.
That's pretty sick.
And yeah, it's people doing that kind of thing. Yeah. You know, that gives me hope.
Exactly. Right? Things that are just like, here's a small weird thing that's like odd and effortful, but like you can just buy this weird thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's like, what I like. There's a guy that's got a vacuum a vacuum chamber somewhere and like an electron thing and there's like a high voltage power supply and it's just using it to make very, very dark paint and selling it on eBay.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, crack and it's like £10 for a tiny little pot, but it's very, very dark paint and it goes a long way. So, yeah.
The Strid is also a very sick name.
The Strid.
The Strid.
Anyway, we didn't end up going to the Strid.
Yeah.
Because apparently 14,000 people. I think there might be a Tom Scott video on it now, but there wasn't at the time, so I couldn't.
I thought you were going to say there's a Tom Scott video on your lie. Like,
I mean, maybe. Yeah. You know, citation needed. Didn't he have something called Citation Needed? Like.
Oh, the what's it called? That's his like comedy troupe, right? They're called like the Unqualified Reservations or some shit like that.
It's a little bit Mitch Benn. Or
probably
isn't
Citation.
It?
Do you know what I mean? I don't know. It's very Mitch Benn, isn't it?
A little bit of a Mitch Benn.
I've got another anecdote about that. I'll tell you off mic. Adam's 45th birthday.
Yeah.
Of year.
This is one where I was looking up. It was something about like dates of like things or like it was to do with Easter, right? The latest possible date that Easter can be on.
It's the 25th.
Yeah, and it will be on the 25th.
Yeah,
on your 45th birthday.
That's nice.
When you're 45, that will be the latest Easter.
That's good, but I think it's very seldom on.
That's also like, the year 2038.
Yeah,
which is, you know, when everything's going to end. Mm. So probably we won't be here then,
because
the Unix timestamp will overflow. Or what is that? What it is? It's like the. If you have a 32-bit unsigned integer, then the number of seconds since January the 1st, 1970 will be higher than you can represent.
Oh, okay.
I think it's like 2 billion or 2 billion 100... It's like that thing, 2,147,000,000 something. That's like 32 bits. That's the maximum number you can have. Maybe it's during... Actually, what time does it actually... Because I imagine it wouldn't actually be... like January the 1st, right? 2038. Problem. Right, when will it happen? Oh, it happens in January. January the 19th.
I'm going to miss it.
It happens at 3:14 UTC, so that's Pi Day.
Nice, epic.
Except it doesn't happen at 3:14, 3:14:15. It just happens at 3:14, so not really... the Epocalypse is what they're calling it.
Well, it's nice to get revved up for that now, isn't it?
Yeah, you got.
I feel like it took. It didn't. It was like people were only really getting worried about like Y2K
in the year leading up, if anything.
I think that like, the 2038 thing, I think, as people were talking about it mostly around Y2K.
Yeah, which is like, that's one of those things where I'm just like, that's a bit more realistic. Like, I mean, hopefully people have moved.
When was the last time you made a database of any kind?
Today.
Right. Did you have a timestamp in it?
And
how wide was the data type for the timestamp?
I don't think so. I think it was like, it was a very simple thing. It was for a, it was like an instruction base. It was for a course. It was just like a very simple, like sort of sample bit.
Right,
data.
Right. When was the last time you put a timestamp in a database? Did you know whether it was 64-bit or 32-bit?
I didn't actually look.
This is what I mean, right? Yeah. Maybe, we've only got
this is professional negligence on my part, I will say.
14 years, right?
I don't think anyone. The funny thing is, all of the.
What software is going to still be. Like, 14 years isn't that long ago. 2010 to now.
I'm just like, most of the what I use database for is just like, you know, analyzing stuff. I'm just like, no one's going to care about any of this stuff in 14 years. Hmm. And in a way, damn, that's messed up.
Sandcastles, Adam.
Yeah, I know it's a very like easy and obvious thing to give out about, but like I remember when I read, I was reading some like years ago. I was reading some stuff about World War II, and I realized that like so much of what I sort of like reacted badly to is like obviously like the visceral horror of like, you know, combat, you know, as described, is just like, so it seems like the most terrifying shit ever.
Yeah,
but also, like, just the incredible, like, obviously the human tragedy is the real thing, but like I also really react badly to like the waste of it, not like as the lives, but more just into, which is obviously also true, but like mostly where they just like,
well,
they,
it was, you know, a negative sum activity.
Yeah, you're just
that
like,
we were engaged
exactly
in,
yeah, right? You're just like, they did this maneuver and this was a fucking complete waste of troops, and you know, all these fucking tanks conked out in the desert and then they were just left there because like you know, we didn't do that. I'm just like, God, it's such a waste.
Well, what about in the US, in order for surplus military vehicles to not flood the market and cause an economic catastrophe in 1945-6, they just pushed them all off of aircraft carriers.
Yeah.
And there's just a load of, like, the depths of the Pacific, there's just loads of Humvees or something.
Well, like, you see those big, like, you know, the fucking, like, B-52 graveyards or whatever, like, all of that stuff. All of these things where it's, like, just...
B-52 is kind of almost an opposite of that, though, because it's going to be, like, flying for 100 years, I think. It first flew in, like, what, 1952, 53, I think? And, like, it's apparently going to be maintained until 2052, because it's just... It's a big thing with really smoky engines that can carry loads of bombs, and that's it, you know. Mm. Like all the members of the band who have been born and died, and the plane's still flying. I don't know, it's just something, isn't it?
Yeah.
The waste of it all, Adam, the waste.
I know it's kind of like not really the main thing or whatever, but like.
No, I know what you mean. Because there's that kind of thing where also just the kind of like, obviously, that, you know, the waste of people, the waste of material, and so on, right? Yeah. But the waste of like. You can go to all these places, you can go to these front lines, and there's just, it's just a place, right? Mm. It was all just fighting over the place, whether a place could be a place or not, right? And i.e. like which government had territorial control of a place, or, you know, what ideology triumphed in a place was like worth all of that.
Absolutely.
Was worth.
But that's the thing. Sometimes
that's the
you
thing
can
that
make
you're trying to grapple with.
Yeah, but
that's
like
what I mean.
You're standing somewhere and you're just like, if I'd been here 70 years ago, I would have been...
I would die.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It would have just like, it would have killed me dead. And like, I think...
Brighton Beach.
Yeah.
It's covered with mines.
Yeah.
Loads of sappers got killed on Brighton Beach in the war, right?
Yeah.
When after D-Day, like, they had to take all the mines out again.
Yeah.
And they couldn't, so loads of them died because they were just too buried and stuff. And that was something I didn't know about. Yeah. I don't know where I read that. It was something...
Brighton Past.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, this is a... what is it? I guess it's... Yeah, exactly 50... That doesn't seem right. 50 years before I was born. It was in World War II, right?
Yeah,
doesn't seem right.
That's weird, isn't it? Yeah,
that doesn't sound
right. Exactly. That's so weird. 50 years back. Fuck.
Exactly 50 years before I was born, on my birthday, was when Brighton got bombed, and basically there was just like a kind of blitz thing where they sent too many bombers, and then all the targets had been bombed, and it was like a daylight thing. You know, it was just like a bombing raid, right?
Yeah.
And they were just basically bombing some places in East London, and then they came back via Brighton and then just dropped all the ones that they hadn't used. And like, that's when Hannington's got bombed, and the you know, the viaduct.
Mm.
We've all seen these pictures, right? You've seen the picture of the viaduct with bombed. And the thing I didn't see, we're getting onto the local history thing.
Yes, we've not done this in a while.
But you can actually see it on the fucking... if you go into, like, Google Street View, it's, like, very visible. And I have looked up there and sort of noticed it. But when I was looking at it the other day, right, it's like... Oh, it won't let me... Come on. There we go. Right here, right?
Yeah.
A bomb fell, like, right here.
Yeah.
And destroyed this...
It's the view from
one,
the...
Or maybe it's that one. And if you look, like, down here... You can see that the bricks are different.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
They're, like, much newer.
Exactly.
They're, like, 100 years newer, because this was built in, like, 1840, 1850 or something, I think.
Yeah.
It must have been 1840-ish, right? And then these are built in, like, 1940. Mm. So you can see the brickwork is... Interestingly, I guess a lot of this is just stuff that hadn't ever got pressure washed. Isn't it, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, if you look at pictures of, like London in, like, 1978 or something, everything's, all the buildings are black.
Mm.
And everything at some point between 1985-ish and 2005-ish, every building in Britain got pressure washed, and now all the soot is gone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at the that building there to the right, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that
yeah,
was that's
yeah.
the old
yeah,
that's
yeah,
the
yeah.
old technical college or something
yeah,
like that.
It looks like
that's,
one,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
I can't remember. They've turned it into flats now, I believe.
Yeah.
But, like, it's some old, you know, sort of. I think if you zoom in on the sign, it might tell you what it is.
The old technical
there
college.
You go. Yeah.
Not the municipal technical college.
No, which is
the other
that's
side.
A sick building.
I used to go every day to uni. I used to go past that building.
Yeah.
That's a lovely building. Is that flats now?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. Something. Very expensive flats, I will say.
I bet.
Every time, like, they pop and write me from time to time. I just like
this way, right?
Cannot afford those. They are very nice.
This way.
Yeah, it's just down. Yeah, it's next.
Here,
it's
here
a little
it is,
bit
yeah.
there. It's yeah. Oh, what a sick.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
When was that built?
It's got a car park as well, I believe.
Oh, another car park.
It's sickening. Absolutely disgusting.
We'll have the date. We'll have
oh,
the,
it's beautiful.
We'll have the year
yeah.
on it.
If you,
what year was it?
If you... oh, gosh.
Might have to go. They usually have the
yeah,
year
I
on
Yeah, I think
them.
It might be under... Oh, no, that's something else.
It might be on the side somewhere. Because there's a similar one.
I feel like
Hove.
I can... Yeah, I feel like
they
I've seen
these
the...
everywhere. It would be on there. Mm. Or on... Is there another one?
It's one of those where I feel like in my head I've seen the number, but I couldn't tell.
I reckon
it
it's 1897.
Yeah.
That's what I guess. Because it's got that slightly pre-Art Nouveau thing, where it's like post-end of the Victorian era.
Yeah.
Because there's the one in Hove that's like... oh, we're the wrong way around. That's like... what is it? Just down from the court? Is it here?
That one? No, that's the...
We've gone too far. Is it down... here? Is it the next one? It's got to be Palmyra Square, actually, isn't it? This one. Is This looks like a very similar
yes.
type of building.
Yes, no, I walked past there the other day.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That's almost
Palmyra
a,
World,
almost like a sister
called?
Building.
Palmyra something, it's called...
1893,
it's
that one. Yeah.
It looks like it. It looks like...
What
I'm not sure if it's
originally?
flats or offices, because
it looks like
offices,
maybe, yeah.
Yeah,
when you go
it's called
there.
Palmyra Place or something like that. It's called,
yeah.
It's called Palmyra... Zoom in on that. Sorry, I go back. It's the oh. yeah. It was you had the end of it there. Palmyra Yard.
Yard.
Yeah. Sorry. Whenever
yard.
I see yard, I always just think Shoreditch. Like you
yeah,
know,
yeah, yeah.
Shoreditch. Awful startup nonsense. Yeah.
Got
and there's
brown,
that big
got some brownfield.
Yep. There's a. I think there's a synagogue there. Yeah.
You got a synagogue. We've got a few different things.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those sort of styles where you it kind of like everything in that style got built in like the same decade
yeah,
and then
yeah,
it just
yeah.
sort of a fad that kind of passed.
It's a nice style though.
Yeah.
Like it's sort of very nice red bricky, like, you know, sort of not exactly Gothic, but it has things that are a bit pointy.
What happened to Tartaria, Adam? You know, if you compare it to the things that got built.
No, you compare it to the results of modern planning and its expertise. The disgusting Hove Trial Centre.
That's one of those real, like, elf and safety things where, why don't
yeah.
they call it a court? Why is
yeah.
it a trial centre? It's because there's probably some specific...
Yeah.
Court probably has some kind of judicial...
Yeah, yeah,
like, you know, there's probably some sheriff thing involved,
yeah.
you know.
Like, it says Hove Crown Court on the bit there. But, like, you know, it's not like there aren't, like, courts around that are just, like, called courts. And everyone calls it the court anyway. Like, no one's out there being, like...
Oh. A lot of these buildings are called court.
Yeah.
Ho ho. Anyway, yeah, World War II, your 45th birthday. Maybe we need to call it there.
Yeah.
Maybe we've run out of content.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Night,
folks.
A little tight 90 minute number.
Good stuff.
Night.
sorry, we're back. I had a brainwave, and I was just like, Joseph, we need to read this, and then I thought we should probably record it. Wow, that mic sounds really being,
yeah.
Okay, so there's fucking hell, man. It's got that.
Mitch Benn.
Yeah, so Mitch Benn. Right, so I was reminded of... I mentioned some stuff that I can't talk about on air off mic, and then I remembered this article in The Guardian that I read a little while ago. Can you tell us what the title of this article is, Joseph?
An amazing Guardian article, right? So it's in single quotes, "I was pretty crushed," end quotes, colon, "Mitch Benn wrote two novels."
Then stopped. What happened? The stand-up one, I feel like calling stand-up is a bit...
He looks really sad there.
He does. After an idle tweet.
Saw a picture of him. Like, my idea of how he looks is just purely from having seen a picture of him in, like, 2005.
Yeah.
I think maybe he's lost weight.
Yeah.
But also, he looks a lot older now. He's almost got a kind of Werner Herzog eyes.
A little bit, yeah. He's got the same hairline. Like, I think yeah, maybe it's partly because he used to have like a lot longer. He used to have like long hair.
Yeah, that's how
It makes you young, but it also sort of gives you a bit of a like a certain like I don't know. middle-aged immaturity, I think, I'd say, maybe. Yeah, whereas now he's like definitely
guitar
in his 50s.
Dad.
Exactly. Yeah. Which, you know, he is.
Yeah, yeah.
So, a decade ago, a bored tweet landed stand-up comedian and singer Mitch Benn a book deal. What made him lose another isn't quite so clear. I am a big shambling doofus. Oh, that's correct. It's possible somewhere along the line I said the wrong thing to the wrong person. I don't bloody know. Perhaps no one actually liked his sci-fi novel Terror, he muses, when it was published in 2013.
Well.
The Guardian described Terror as, quote, both comic and satirical, and in comparisons with Douglas Adams, Roald Dahl and Terry Pratchett by Mitch himself. Yet Penn's extraterrestrial fable has its own distinct voice. Or maybe sales were just crap, Mitch says. At one point, I was told they're all sold out and they had to print some more. To be honest, I've never really found out what happened. That is the biggest following. Yeah. Like, can you imagine a man who is more like, sort of, I care about my metrics than Mitch? But it's, yeah. Oh, man. Mate. So, yeah, he basically, like, he got a book deal that was like, you know, whatever. He'd always envisioned a series as a trilogy. So when Orion declined to publish the third book, he found it particularly disheartening. He'd only managed to publish two of them. I gazed near me at the literary world for a year. I've been part of it. Been to literary festivals and events and done readings. I absolutely loved it. Then I was kicked out of it. Hoping that two published books and a degree of fame would help. He signed up with a New York literary agency. It didn't end well. He pitched a YA fantasy he had to abandon because a similar sounding movie was unannounced and ultimately never released. His agent urged him to write something, quote, like David
like
Walliams.
David Walliams.
Ah! Oh, mate. This is one of the good bits. When he pitched a fantasy novel in the vein of Ridley Walker, written entirely in a form of pidgin English, they threw their hands in the air. But Ben wouldn't drop the idea, so the agency dropped him. A couple of years later, when Liz Hyder's Bearmouth did the same and won a clutch of awards, Ben felt, quote, like roadkill.
Then he decided
instead that he was going to write the third volume of his shitty children's fucking sci-fi novels. Oh, mate.
This is like when you've got a guy that's like, you see that? I thought of that.
Yeah.
I would have done that. I would have been just as successful.
Yeah. He's now self-publishing all three Terror novels.
Oh.
Now I'm resumed. Oh, mate. With withnail-esque mock outrage, his self-confessed pomposity was burst when his partner, who works in marketing, sat down and ran the numbers with him. She said, look, you want the damn thing out there. She said, call in favours and anything you can't get free pay for. It'll cost you about $2,000.
Man.
Oh, mate.
When you're, like, publishing things, it's kind of like, I need to get my, you know, I need to get, like, a quote on, like, a new window for my house.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of thing,
it's,
you know?
Oh, mate, it's very much like, well, is this or the conservatory?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Okay. Quote, the quality of books you can produce now is almost indistinguishable for reader to anything put out by a major publisher.
In my brain, I'm just like, what? What do you mean?
In terms of the writing? Like,
yeah, but I was like, the writing, the quality, just writing books has just got a lot easier. Yeah. There's a lot more resources out there.
Oh, mate. Quote, he pauses. Quote, whether this means I'll be readmitted to the citadels of literature, that remains to be seen.
How did he get this? How did he get in this?
He's mates with the guy, I presume. Right. Like, I can't imagine it's anything other than just, like, he was, like, you know, he managed to get one of his pals to, like,
He's so funny, man. He's so Alan Partridge. It's insane. I get, every time I see that face, I just come back to that video of him on Patreon or whatever, where he's just like, he's got the remote control for the skylight and he's just going, vroom, vroom, vroom. Look at this!
The thing is, I've forgotten about like so much of this and it's not coming back.
It's so good. Well, all right. Anyway, sorry. I just had to make sure the listeners got in on that as well. So
yep.
Keep it real. Not everyone. No, for real.